Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome to this deep dive. Today we're taking a look at some of the content that students are engaging with on The Juice.
Right, that's the educational app.
We've got quite a mix today reflecting what kids might be seeing.
Yeah. A real variety, everything from interesting animal stories to history and current events.
Okay, so let's start with one from Guinness World Records. They actually brought together the world's smallest dog and the world's tallest dog.
Oh, I saw this one. Pearl, the Chihuahua. She's tiny, like 3.6 inches.
Tiny. And then Reggie, the Great Dane, who's 3 feet 4 inches tall. Quite the contrast.
Huge difference. So Pearl's owner, Vanessa Semler, came from Florida, and Reggie's owner, Sam Johnson Rice, well, they met up in Idaho.
And apparently they got along. After a bit of sniffing, I gather.
Yeah, surprisingly well, it seems. They even got a photo of Pearl sitting inside Reggie's massive food bowl.
That's pretty funny.
Pearl's owner actually said, I think she has no idea she's a small dog. Said she loves playing with bigger dogs and even picks her own clothes out.
Huh. And Reggie?
His owner described him as just a big baby, really playful, vocal, but a gentle soul.
So definitely good discussion starters there for parents and teachers. Mm. You know, opposites attracting, maybe different dog breeds.
Or even just how animals see size differences or what places like Guinness World Records actually do.
Good points. Okay, moving on. Story two takes us to the Eurovision Song Contest. The 2025 one.
Ah, yes. Austria took the title this year. An opera singer called JJ, Johannes Peach is his real name.
With the song Wasted Love, what was the performance like?
Pretty distinct. He wore a black leather trench coat, and the set looked like, well, a single-sailed raft. He got 436 points.
Wow. Who were the runners-up?
Israel came second with 357 points, and Estonia was just behind with 356. It's always close.
And loads of people watched this, right?
Oh, yeah, over 160 million for the live finals. The voting's that mix of, you know, jury votes and then fan phone votes. But you can't vote for your own country.
Right. And since Austria won, they host next year.
Exactly. In 2026, it'll be their first time hosting since 2015, I believe.
And JJ himself, he must have been thrilled.
Absolutely. He said, "This is absolutely insane. My dreams came true." And he had this uplifting message, too, about love never being wasted.
Nice message. So talking points for kids here could be things like international competitions, stage presence.
Or different music styles, the power of positive messages and songs, that kind of thing.
Okay, next up, a story about Canadian snowbirds. Some are apparently selling their winter homes in the U.S.
Yeah, this is interesting. The article suggests it's linked to President Trump's rhetoric and policies towards Canada, things like trade issues and maybe residency rules.
Is there an example?
Well, they mentioned Dale McMullen from Alberta. He sold his place in Arizona, saying he felt unwelcome, even unsafe, because of concerns about future U.S. actions.
Hmm. That must have an impact on those U.S. states, economically.
For sure. Arizona, for instance, apparently has about 100,000 Canadians spending winters there, contributing something like $1.4 billion.
That's significant. And property buying, too.
Yeah. Canadians spent about $6 billion on U.S. property between April 2023 and March 2024. That's like 13% of all foreign transactions. Mostly vacation homes in places like Florida, Arizona, Hawaii.
So this could lead to discussions about, well, how politics affects individuals, right?
Absolutely. Or migration patterns, economic ties between countries, different views on international relations. Lots to unpack there.
Okay, story number four is a fascinating historical tidbit. Harvard University apparently bought an original Magna Carta back in 1946.
$27. $27. That's incredible. And they thought it was just a copy of facsimile at first.
Who figured it out?
A medievalist named David Carpenter discovered it recently. This copy is from 1300.
And the Magna Carta itself, just to remind people.
First written in 1215, basically limited the king's power, established rule of law. King John initially, but later kings reissued it. This Harvard one is from Edward VI's time, signed by him.
Its importance.
Carpenter pointed out it stopped the king from just acting arbitrarily against people, you know? Required due legal process. It heavily influenced the U.S. Constitution, too.
Like trial by jury.
Exactly. Trial by jury, habeas corpus, those ideas have roots there. And just think, another copy from that same era sold for $21 million back in 2007.
Wow. So Harvard got quite the bargain.
You could say that. A great talking point about historical documents, rule of law, serendipity even.
Definitely. All right, our fifth story is unfortunately quite serious. A massive storm system that hit the South and Midwest.
Yes, tragically. Severe weather with thunderstorms and tornadoes killed at least 32 people. This was across Kentucky, Missouri, and Virginia.
Kentucky seems to have been hit hardest.
It was. At least 23 deaths there, mostly in Laurel County. The town of London was described as facing a mass casualty event. There was also a major dust storm near Chicago.
Awful. Any specific accounts?
They mention Mahala Watts in London County. Her family huddled in the bathroom while the tornado literally ripped the roof off their house.
Just terrifying. What did the governor say?
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear called it among the worst in terms of the loss of human life and damage he'd ever seen.
A difficult topic, but important for discussion. Things like storm safety, emergency services.
And community resilience, too. How people cope and help each other after disasters like this.
Right. Okay, finally, we have the quote of the day. This one is from Sandra Cisneros.
Ah, yes. She said, "The beauty of literature is you allow readers to see things through other people's eyes. All good books do this."
Powerful quote. Tell us a bit about Sandra Cisneros.
She's a highly regarded Mexican-American writer, born in Chicago, probably best known for her novel, The House on Mango Street.
I know that one. Published back in the 80s.
1984, yeah. It's about a young Latina girl in Chicago exploring identity, culture, coming of age. She also writes poetry and other novels, often focusing on Mexican-American women's experiences, cultural identity, that sort of thing.
And she's received quite a few honors.
Oh, yes. A MacArthur Fellowship, the National Medal of Arts. Very influential writer.
So the quote is a great lead-in to talking about empathy through reading.
Exactly. How literature helps us understand different perspectives, different cultures, exploring the themes in her work, or just the importance of diverse voices in books generally.
Well, that wraps up our look at some topics featured today on The Juice.
We hope this overview gives you, the parents and teachers listening, a bit of insight.
Yeah, maybe spark some ideas for conversations you can have with your students or children about what they're learning.
Hopefully it's helpful.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.